Now on BBC Radio 4, Celluloid Extras, and today's drama is inspired by I Know Where I'm Going, the 1945 Powell and Pressburger film that was famously shot on Mull. Katrina's Story by Sebastian Bunchkiewicz.
Good out here.
Nor can I do him any harm.
You're not making any sense, child.
Where was the sense in my Kenny ferrying that English woman over to Killoran in this? Where was the sense in that?
And there she was, Mr. Potts. Poor Bridie waiting on the quayside at the edge of the sea, the wind howling wild about her. Common sense would have brought her back inside her father's hut. Common sense would have told her there was no good to be gained from standing vigil.
At least stand under the shelter here.
Oh, leave me be, Mrs. Potts. For God's sake, leave me be.
But now that I think about it, this was not about common sense, Mr. Potts. This was not about putting a brave face on things. This was a sense of a deeper character. This was a knowing. A knowing that if she took even one step back inside the hut, then the bond she shared with her young man would be broken. A knowing that her Kenny and Torquil and Joan would be lost forever in the merciless swirl of the whirlpool Corrie Vrecken.
Is there no talking to her, Mrs. Potts?
None whatsoever.
Would you pass me those long nails?
These?
Aye.
The shelf looks sturdy enough, Rory.
Her mother was just the same. God rest her. Once she had the thought fixed, there would be no moving her. Oh, he thinks himself a big, brave man. Ah, big, brave king.
Perhaps we should send down word to the men in Tobermory.
What?
Have them prepare the boats.
Are you out of your mind, Mrs. Potts?
Not especially.
The sea is too wild for rescue.
You know as well as I do they've set out in worse.
Oh, is that a fact?
You can't be indifferent to this, Rory.
Ah.
And if they die? Well, you surely can't want to break your daughter's heart.
It won't be me that breaks her heart.
Kenny's barely 18.
Old enough to know his own mind.
Were you so wise at 18?
I hope that I was wise enough to know that were an English woman with no knowledge of these waters, fool enough to offer me £20 to set out in a storm I knew I could not navigate, I hope that I would have had sense enough to turn her down.
The money's to marry Bridie.
That boy has worked with me on these boats since he was 6 years old. And he knows full well what risks he has taken.
But we can't just leave them out there.
We do not know that they're in trouble.
In a storm such as this, come on, Rory.
Katrina Potts, I must tell you that it will not be me asks good men to leave their wives and children to save a feckless woman and a money-mad boy. It won't be me with good men's souls upon my conscience.
And Torquil? Torquil's out there too, you know.
I'd say the Laird de Caloran knows his own mind.
He was trying to help Kenny.
Aye. And I suppose you did not see the look that passed between him and that English woman.
Her name's Joan. Joan Webster.
You cannot tell me you did not recognize the shine between them.
The shine?
Aye. Do you deny it?
Why,
you may as well deny the sun it's rising.
And I had to admit, Mr. Potts, that he had me there. Fair and square. Old Rory was right. There was no denying the shine that passed between Torquil and Joan. I knew it from the first instant I saw them together. And I suppose I should tell you the whole story. For what good are these talks of ours if I do not tell you the whole of a story and not just its bones? 8 days past it was, and I had been out hunting with the hounds. 6 rabbits bagged. Oh, You would have been proud of me, my darling. I had scrounged some cartridges from old man Campbell, and it was just as you once said. There's nothing like necessity to sharpen one's shot. Anyway, no sooner do I get back to the house than there is Torquil standing in the parlour. Back from bashing Mr. Hitler on 8 days' leave and hungering to make the crossing to the island, to make the crossing to Killoran. But Torquil was not alone there in the parlour. Oh no. There was a young woman with him. A Joan Webster, fresh up from London. Pretty enough, but headstrong. I liked her immediately. Although between you and me, she's all thumbs when it comes to skinning a rabbit. Anyway, Joan was hungering to get to Killoran too, because she's engaged to this millionaire chap, Robert something or other. I forget now. Very big in chemicals. Well, this Robert has only gone and rented Torquil's pile on Killoran, and Robert and Joan are to be married in the grandest style. With pipers, Mr. Potts. 3 pipers. And during wartime. I'd say this chemical Robert has pulled a few strings, put the right word in the right ear to those in high places. And that would have been that, were it not for the fearsome storm which had blown itself in. In fact, that would have been the end of the matter, were it not for the shine between Torquil and Joan. A shine that you and I would have recognized in an instant, my darling. The unmistakable shine upon which one may pivot one's whole life.
Rory, listen to me, please. The reason Joan promised Kenny the money is simply because she's tried to get herself married to that Robert fellow on Killoran.
The businessman, eh?
But you surely can't begrudge her wanting to be at her own wedding.
I begrudge her nothing, but I will not tolerate her deception. Did she not wait until I was away at the dentist before she offered her money to Kenny? Eh? Did she not do that?
She did.
And have I not spent the whole of the last week patiently explaining to her why I cannot make the crossing to Killoran with a storm blowing in as strong as this?
You have.
So what, then, would you have me do?
Joan has behaved very badly. She has. And Torquil, too, for denying what was plain for all to see.
Well, she's headstrong, is she not? And has her mind set upon her millionaire and her life of who knows what luxury. Killoran may be a laird, but he has no money. And I doubt, shine or no, that would make him much of a catch to one such as her.
You underestimate her.
Is that right? My father and I built that boat. For 6 whole months we worked upon her. And when she was done, old Katie Doran came down from the hill and laid her hands upon her, and that boat has never faltered from that day to this. For she was honestly built, and honestly run. Eh? Their fate lies with the water now.
You can't mean that, Rory.
I can say no more.
And with that, he sat himself down in that tatty old chair of his and disappeared. Disappeared deep inside himself, resolute and still as these great wild hills. And I? Well, what was I supposed to do? I sat with him a while, but the storm was far too strong in me, and I could not shake the thought of his daughter, young Bridie, out there in the gathering dark alone.
I think the wind is dropping. Yes, the wind is definitely dropping.
You may be right there, Bridie.
But there's no telling what it's like beyond the bay. Oh, Kenny! Why did you take that woman's money? I told her, did I not? You were there. I told her to her face.
This will do no good, Bridie.
I said that some folks there are who can't be waiting a day to satisfy their passions. Some folks there are who want to drown young men and break poor girls' hearts only so that they may be bedded one day sooner.
It isn't that.
Isn't it?
Joan is running away.
Oh, from what?
Her heart.
But Miss Webster had no part in my dancing with the soldier, did she?
What?
Up at the Campbell Cayley. I danced with a soldier and Kenny was so jealous. And if I hadn't... If I hadn't danced with that bad, silly man, well then... Well, Kenny would never have taken her ugly money, would he? He'd be here now. He'd be here beside me.
He will come.
How can you know? How can you possibly know?
And that was when I said it, my dear Mr. Potts. That was when I spoke of us, my dear, dear darling. And I know how you frown at the thought of my fretting. And I know how we agreed that I would be a brave old girl, but sometimes... Sometimes...
He may be lying dead at the bottom of the sea right now.
Don't say it, Bridie.
But it might be. It might be.
Or he's sailing home.
He's gone. I know he's gone.
Without trust, there's nothing, Bridie.
Trust?
What else has kept you rooted here all day? You know, each evening, each and every evening, I walk the hounds down here to look at the sea, to search the horizon, in the hope that I might have my husband just for a single moment, here beside me.
But do you know where Mr. Potts is, do you not?
Oh, yes, I suppose. The Middle East somewhere. Army intelligence does not believe I need to know quite where.
Does he not write?
When he can, which is hardly at all.
But that must be terrible.
To be honest, as far as I'm concerned, no news is good news. But I cannot tell you how sometimes I falter outside the post office. Just in case there's an official-looking letter addressed to me. It's trust, Bridie. Trust. For without it, what have we?
It's them.
What?
It's them.
Where?
Look at the edge of the bay. It's them.
Who's aboard?
All three. Oh, they can't have made it to Killoran at all.
I'd say the wedding's off.
Oh, my God, it's them. It's them. I knew it. I knew it.
I never doubted it.
Oh, where are you going?
Send Torquil and Joan up to the house, will you? I think we have some very tired and hungry people to look after tonight. Not to mention wet. Shall I fetch your father?
Oh, I'll do it. Oh, Mrs. Potts?
Yes, Bridie?
He will come home to you, your man. He will.
Fetch your father.
Ahoy there, Kenny! Ahoy!
Well, now, of course, we've got a whole crop of weddings all at once. There's Kenny and Bridie and, naturally enough, Torquil and Joan. There was really no argument after that silly business with the boat. Chemical Robert has vacated Killoran, I'm told, and everyone's in ghastly happy-ever-after mode. Now, please, don't get me wrong, Mr. Potts. There are no sour grapes here. I'm delighted for all of them. I am. It's just that sometimes it's hard to take my own advice and trust. Trust that you will return to the fire and the hounds. Trust that you and I will make our great walks across the hills. Trust that we will stand together at last before this endless ocean. Trust. For without it, what else is there to hold us fast, my darling? What else?
The Celluloid Extra tomorrow is Sister Philippa's story from Powell and Pressburger's Black Narcissus.